name is Mick, and I'm the vicar here of this church, and you are very welcome. It's about the fifth time we've welcomed you, but you are very welcome here. And I've said this before, that I became a Christian in my late 20s, no church background at all. And many years ago, a friend brought me along to this church, to something like this. The chairs weren't as comfortable, and the music wasn't quite as zippy and, you know, electric guitars and such like. But it had the same people had got their arms in the air and were clapping, and I thought they were weird. And it was probably one of the first times I'd ever been in a church. So, but there was something strangely attractive about it, because they obviously had something that I was looking for in my life. I had a good life, I had a good career working for a national phone company, BT. But there was something, you know, that the plan was ahead. There was the bigger the promotion, the better house and all that kind of stuff. But there was something in my life I knew that just didn't quite fit. And this friend brought me to this church. And again, initially I thought, these people are crazy. What is happening here? I'd never been in a church really. So the only ones I'd seen were on movies, on films, with about eight people, a dog and a choir at the front. I thought this was kind of strange. But actually that strange attraction kept me going. And in the end, I left my job and became a vicar. That was a good move. That was a good move. We talk a lot in this church about life. Because unless the Christian faith is relevant to life, it's just a few religious people gathering together to do their thing. And some at the front do their things even differently because they wear robes and stuff, you know. But the reality of the Christian faith is it's about real life. That's why Jesus came to the planet 2,000 years ago. And we often ask this here, how is your life today on a scale of 0 to 10? Where 0 is, why did I get up this morning? And 10 is, hallelujah, everything's amazing. I'm walking on air. Another song coming up there. No, I'll not sing it. So we often talk about how is life, and I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I wonder how your life is today. How is your life today? And sometimes it's tough, isn't it? Because sometimes we can't say to people, my life is, you know, it sucks. It's not very good at the moment. I'm struggling at the moment. And they go, oh, mine's great. Thanks a lot for that. And that's why you need good friends who you can share your life with. And that's why we have communities here. We meet on a Sunday, but we have communities in the week. There's 1,000 people in this church, but we all divide into little communities of friends who share their journey and their life together. And one of the things, and I want to talk about this morning, just one verse from the Bible we're going to look at this morning, just one verse on this dedication Sunday. But life needs lots of things, but it definitely needs this. It needs hope. And if ever we needed hope, we need it today. Globally, when we look around the world, we've got a trade war between America and China, but that's probably okay now. And then the president of the US is now in North Korea. That seems to be, we think, working out until the next tweet goes out. Who knows? We just don't know. It's all very fragile, isn't it? And in our own nation, we've got the Boris battle going on, and who knows what's going to happen there. And in the mix of all this, like these global leaders, the reality of life is that the health service is struggling, that we have lots of medics here and teachers, and you know, teachers are struggling. Why? Because our children often are struggling. I'm not going to go through all the reports now, but there is a UN report saying that children in our nation are now slipping into the top 5 for poverty levels. I mean, what the heck is happening there? And it is a fact. This is not political. This is spiritual for me. The rich get richer and the poor seem to just like do their best. And so we need hope. Hope for our own lives, but hope for the lives of those around us. And the Bible says a lot about hope. Now, when we talk about hope, generally we're like, oh, I hope this happens, or I hope that happens. I hope Sheffield United get promoted to the Premier League. Hallelujah, there is a God. They did. And one day we hope Sheffield Wednesday will do better than they're doing already. But sometimes we use the word hope as like wishful thinking. Oh, I hope this might happen. I hope that might happen. But in the Bible uses the word hope differently. The word hope means absolute, assured that it's going to happen. It's a certainty that this expectation will come to fruition. And so when we talk about hope, that's what the Bible says. And in the New Testament, the bit when, you know, the Bible is the Old Testament, the kind of the all the prophets and the story of creation. And then there's the New Testament, for those who are new to this stuff, as I was many years ago. And that's the part of the Bible which tells about the coming of Jesus, Christmas story, the Easter story, his death and resurrection. And then the story of the early church, how the church grew. These people who had this faith grew. And in that part of the Bible, the word hope is used over 80 times. And it's to give confidence to the people. And we're going to look at one of these little bits of the Bible now. And this is the book of Romans. And I think it'll appear somewhere, hopefully, on the bottom. This is Romans 15 and verse 13. It'll appear on the screen. If you've got a Bible, that's what it is, if you want to look at the verse. And actually, this book of Romans was written by a man called St. Paul. And he wrote a load of letters to these early churches saying lots of things. But one of the things he said is this, basically, keep pressing on. Have hope. Have this trust in God. God can do these things in your lives and in the lives of those around you. And that's what this letter is actually saying. Have hope in challenging times. Let's just read this first bit, and it'll appear on the screen here. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Let's just all say that together on three. Congregational participation. One, two, three. Let's do it again. One, two, three. May the God of hope. Now, this is where you turn to the person next to you and go, may the God of... No, I'm not going to do that with you, don't worry. I'm not going to do that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Did you know that God is hope? God, and God alone, as seen in Jesus, is our hope. Over 30 years ago, I sat in that side aisle in this church, and I heard a man on this platform. I don't know what the rest of the service was about. I thought I was kind of a bit shell-shocked with all the music and the hands in the air and the clapping. But I remember the guy saying, God is our hope. I remember it 35 years ago, sat over there. It's an anointed chair. You're in it, sir, there. You're in it, sir. That's you. Put your hand up. You are anointed, sir. It was in that chair. It wasn't that chair. That's a new chair, but you know what I mean. God is our hope. And basically, what the Bible is saying is this. Jesus brings hope every day. Jesus brings hope every day to you, to the people you love, to your colleagues at work, to everyone on this planet. Wow, that's a big one. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings an assurance of the future every single day of our lives. Now, here's a reality check. Because it looks sometimes like this. Jesus brings hope every day. But for some of us, Jesus brings nothing. We have times in our lives when there seems to be no hope. That's why I've done that backdrop as it is. It's like dark on one side. Sometimes we just face challenges in our life when the health issues just don't go away. When the results that we're dreading come back from the doctors. When the finance stuff never works out and it's Wednesday in the third week of the month and you've run out of money. And yes, lots of people do that. Lots of people in that position. We have a food bank here. It's full all the time of people who are embarrassed to come. They're the working poor who come. They have no money, and it's only halfway through the month, and they have to feed their children. We talk to them. This is the reality. And so where is the hope? Where is the hope when that happens? Or maybe when your kids, who when they're this big, when we dedicate them or baptize them, or they're in kids' church, all seems well. And then what happens with kids is they grow up. And maybe they drift away from the faith. And maybe they start hanging out with other kids who are not a good influence on them. And maybe they start coming to the youth group. Little aside there, kids will always stop going to youth groups if you don't bring them to the kids' groups every week. The foundation here is to do a creche and children's work, all the little ones. If you build foundations, you've got a better chance later on in life. If they start to miss that because you're busy on a Sunday, or there's the football on the Sunday, or there's this on the Sunday, and then when they get older, they're not in church, well, that's the challenge. That's the commitment of parents. But even when you do that, sometimes they drift away. And you know they may be taking stuff they shouldn't, or watching stuff on the mobile that they shouldn't. And they're not in when the times when you say, I'm saying this because I know these things happen, because I talk to parents who go through this. Where is the hope then? You feel a complete blank. And the Bible says this, the same guy writing in the same book, Romans. He says, when you're going through that, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he says, suffering, and the word there is tribulation, real challenge in your life. He says, suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And the word character in the Bible there means when you are tested in the fire. That's what the word means. When you're tested in these tough times, he says this. He understands it, this guy Paul says, because perseverance produces character. And you know what? He says character produces hope. And so if you're going through a tough time now, when you can't see even a glimmer of hope anywhere, and you're sitting in church and you say, I can't share it with anyone because everybody else's life is amazing. It's mine that I'm struggling with. And you can't share it because you feel bad about it or ashamed about it. You can't see a glimmer of hope. And the guy next to you, the person next to you says, are you full of hope? And you go, yes, yes. And deep down inside you go, no, no. Then remember, the testing times with Jesus at your side produces hope. When you go through the fires of challenge, God is with you. And what happens is this, slowly but surely, there's a little hope comes. Just a little teeny weeny bit of hope comes into your life. Just a little hope. And maybe that's friends praying for you. Maybe it's somebody inviting you around and encouraging you. Maybe it's good people around you who understand the place you're in. That's what you need. That's why the center of this church is not Sunday church. We love Sundays. It's for, we love it. But the heart of this church, as it was in the New Testament, is small communities of people sharing faith or lack of faith some days, sharing the hope they have in Christ or the lack of hope or the need for hope. That's what we try and cultivate here. That little bit of hope starts to grow in you. And then what we find is it goes to this. That little bit of hope starts to grow. And there's a growing hope in you. And again, this man in Romans, this man Paul, he writes this. This book is amazing, this little bit of the Bible. He says this. Romans 12, verse 12 says, you can be joyful now in hope. You can be patient in affliction. And you will be faithful in prayer. And so as the hope grows in you, you can be joyful. And as the affliction is there, the challenge is there, you can be patient in it because you know God's at work in your life. This is really important for all of us to understand this, because we all go through these times when hope, we struggle with hope. But if we press on, this is what we find. We find somehow this strong hope, this big hope comes into our lives. It will happen if we keep going. And we don't grit our teeth and hope for the best and have another sherry or whatever your tipple is. We start to find the God who gives us hope. And maybe you're here this morning for the first time and you're hearing this talk, but maybe something's resonating with you. Well, you will have a chance to say yes if you want to. We will love to invite you to find the God of hope today. You don't have to leave this building without knowing this hope in your life. You don't have to share what the challenges are, but you can receive this hope as you receive Jesus Christ into your life. It really is as simple as that. We're going to give you that opportunity. Did you realize that God believes in you? You may not believe in God here this morning, but God believes in you. And actually, if you do believe in God, you're a Christian. And sometimes we think, well, I'm doing my best and I come to church and but actually I can't do all this other stuff. Jesus actually believes that we can. You see, we can change the culture. It's not down to the prime minister. It's not down to these global figures. It's down to the living God. God can change the culture. God can change the city of Sheffield. Where are you from on the south coast? Plymouth. I'm not sure if God can change Plymouth. No. God can change Plymouth. That was a joke, honest. Mario's in the south. God can change the south of England. But God can change things because he trusts us. He believes in you. I've met so many people over the years who say, this can't happen. It can't happen in my life. It can happen in your life because God trusts you and believes in you. And actually, it goes further than that because, let me put this one up here. This verse continues and says this hope in your life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Oh, nearly, there we go. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me a show of hands now, whether you've been in church for the first time or you've been coming many years. Who would like to overflow today with hope? Anybody? I would. Keep your hands in the air. No, keep your hands in the air. Unless you've got an elbow issue, you know, keep your hand in the air. Okay, hands down. Who would like to overflow with love, with joy and peace today? I would. Anybody who doesn't want to overflow with joy and peace and hope, don't hang out with them. Because don't hang out with people like that. You want to hang out with people who want hope in their life and joy in their life and peace in their life and love in their life. They're the people, and that's the church. And that's what God can give to you in about 5 minutes' time, because that's what we're going to pray for. Get yourself ready. Grit your teeth because it's coming. Okay? He says it can overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings this to us. And stories of hope are important, aren't they? You turn the news on and it's doom and gloom. The best thing about the news is Tom Bradby at 10 o'clock on the ITV news. I love Tom. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The ITV, who watches the ITV news at 10 o'clock? Put your hands up. Does anybody watch the BBC news? Oh, you're so traditional. Who listens to Radio 4 in the morning? Okay, I do as well, but anybody do Radio 6? Okay, progressives. Anybody watch Glastonbury? Somebody shouted out from the back there. Vanessa, yes, it was. I forgot where I'm going now with this one. Yeah, it's the story. We need stories of hope. The news gives us stories of disaster. And right at the end, a little snippet, cat gets saved from tree or whatever. We need stories constantly of hope. Every Monday morning, the staff team, we meet after we have prayers every morning, and then we meet and we tell the stories of hope that we've heard of in the last 7 days. And we write them down and we put them out on social media because we want our people to know there's hope. There is hope. We don't have to put up with the way things are because we believe in the living God who can change things. And so we have stories of hope, stories of people getting healed physically. Yes, physical healing happens to people when they are prayed for. Breakthroughs in family life. Children who are brought back into the fold of the church. We get lots of stories of hope. And one personal one for me before I finish is this, that I was telling this story at the early gathering this morning. When I was in my mid to late 20s, both my parents died within 2 years of each other. Both of cancer. Well, my mother died second. She had cancer and Alzheimer's. Typical of my mother, if you're going to die, don't die of one thing, but you can die of two. And it was a challenging time. And I remember as a boy and then as a teenager, maybe this resonates with you, having those thoughts when you're a young child. What happens if my parents die? Have you ever had that? What happens when my parents die? What's going to happen? Who's going to look after me? Because they're your parents, they're always there. And I remember even as a teenager and even as a young man in my 20s, they were still, although I came from a dysfunctional family, highly dysfunctional, but they were still my parents. And my father, they still loved me. And I thought, I have these moments, what happens when they die? It's just me, I can't go to my dad anymore. And then I became a Christian. In fact, the year our eldest daughter, Becca, was born, my father died. And I'd just become a Christian. And it's only as I look back now, I realize in that moment, the fear of death left me. And the fear of being alone without parents left me in that moment. Because the rest of my family were falling apart like, you know, Skittles. Doom and gloom, they're all gone, the parents are gone. And I was grieving and I was sad. But looking back, in the moment, I was dealing with the family, which was falling apart. But looking back, I realized that God had given me a gift of hope, that my hope was in Him. He was my Father in heaven. Whether I see my parents again, I don't know. I don't think they were Christians, but that's another issue. But I knew I had a confidence and a hope in God. And maybe that's you this morning. You don't have to live with fear and uncertainty. Honestly, don't leave this church thinking, yeah, it was all right, but I wish I had, but I didn't go. I didn't ask for anybody to pray for me. Take the opportunity today. 30-odd years ago, I was over there. I came with a friend, and I said, I'm going now. He said, you're not. You're going to get some prayer at the front. I said, I'm not. He said, He was bigger than me. I am bigger than you, and I will take you down. I'm taking you to the front for some prayer. Because there was stuff happening in my life. And he came with me, and these two guys prayed with me. My friend was there. He was great. I felt such a peace. And the journey to God began. So, Jesus is saying this to all of us. It's not just that we get hope, but when that happens, we need to overflow. So, friends, it really is now time. It's time to overflow with some hope. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to change where I'm going to finish. Is there any staff at the back? Anybody at the back? Anybody? Is there any staff team here who gets paid to do this still? Could you go and get me 4 cups of water, please? In fact, 5. Okay? What we're going to do is this. We normally anoint people, but there's too many people. There's 350 people here. So I'm going to do something slightly different this morning. Because if you want prayer to receive God in your life, to receive hope in your life, if you're going through a challenge, we have a team who would love to pray for you at the end after the blessing. Just come down here. But right now, what we're going to do is this. We're going to anoint you, all of you here. And as this water touches you, I want you to imagine the hand of God touching you this morning. Put your hand up if you were christened as a baby or as an adult or whatever. Lots of you. Once we get christened, or I mean, these children were, we blessed them this morning, we forget about these things. But God's never forgotten you. If you've had a thanksgiving or a dedication or a christening as a child, you may forget it. God never forgets. He's got your name in heaven ready. He's ready to receive you. So what I'm going to do, keep there, Heather. One for you. Casey, you take one. There we go. Tom, you take one. JB, you take the other one. Is there a fifth one? Can you get me another, some more water?
It's on its way.
It's on the way. Okay, there you go. Take that one. Becca, you take one. There you go. Dave, where's Dave? Dave, where's... Right, need to get another one because I want to use this one. Oh, no, Alan, you do it. Here. Okay, start from the back, Alan. Get into the lounge. Somebody down that side, somebody down the middle, somebody down this side. These guys are going to sprinkle you with water. Not yet. Not yet. Hold on, I'm going to pray first. Don't do it yet. When this water seriously touches you, whether you've the first time in church, times are desperate in our nation. God wants you to rise up and receive his life and his hope. Because when you leave here this morning, my friends, you can speak to people, your friends and family, and say, I know the God of hope because some water hit my head. Because you, when that water hits your head, it will remind you God has not forgotten you. The church is ready to rise up, and it needs you, you to be part of it. At the end of this, the band are coming out as they sprinkle you. At the end of this song, we're going to, anybody who wants to come, if God's speaking to you, come out here and we'll pray for you. And you can receive this God of hope in your life. Why don't you stand now, please? Can I get the band out? Okay. So God, we pray now as the water, this is fun, this is joy, but this is a reality. The God of hope is overflowing in this place. And guys, if you run out of water, go to the water fountain and get some more. Everybody gets sprinkled. Let's start the water now. Overflow, God, now. Overflow. Come on, overflow. Could you give me some music? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we pray you touch every life here. Every life. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it now. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. And if you're next to someone you love, hold their hand now as I pray for you. If you're next to someone you love, hold their hand now. And so God, the God of love and joy and peace, we thank you for those we love. And this is a sign and a symbol of the love you have for us. And God, we pray this day, on this day of dedications, a new beginning in every life here this morning. Whether they've been coming to church for years, or it's the first time you've come into a church, it's a new beginning. The God of hope fill you this day, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Last time, all God's people said, amen.